that. Oh, I look so forward to Sunday mornings. I really do. I was telling the band back there, I guess we'll call that our green room, Jacob. Why not? Back in the green room, that, you know, during the week, you have to focus on so many other things. You've got so many people pulling at you and things that require your attention. And Sunday mornings for about an hour or so, when we all get together here, you can just focus on Jesus. And, you know, you don't have to think about those other things, you know, at least for a little while. And that little while, man, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So we're going to be in John 10 this morning, if you want to turn there. John chapter 10. Now, we'll have it up on the screen for those who need that, but I thought we would cover the first six verses this morning. These first few verses in John 10, they really set up the whole rest of the chapter. So I think it's a good idea for us to get a good understanding of verses 1 through 6. It'll really help us as we move forward in chapter 10. Something else that'll help us is to remember that chapter 10 continues the same scene as chapter 9. At the end of chapter 9, John goes to commercial. And when he comes back, it's chapter 10. Same setting, same folks, same everything. And as we move through 10, you're going to pick up on these little subtle references back to 9, and that's why, because it's the same setting. So let's read our verses, and then we'll talk about them. Let's go John 10, verses 1 through 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So here in chapter 10, Jesus, in his own Jesus way, is giving his interpretation of what happened in chapter 9. And what happened in 9 was Jesus healed a man who was born blind, right? Jesus saw his suffering and he moved to help him. Whereas the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, they're the spiritual leaders of Israel, they actually reject a confirmed miracle. Not only that, they tried to bully the poor guy's parents into saying something that was not true. And when that didn't work, they threw this walking miracle out of the synagogue and told him that he was not allowed to come back. And Jesus' response to them is, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about how Jesus always sees the big picture, right? How Jesus doesn't just fixate on the one thing in front of him, but he sees all those other things in play around that one thing. Well, Jesus dealt with the one thing at the end of chapter 9. When he went and found the man born blind, and he talked with him and he explained to him who he was, and the man worshiped him. Well, now Jesus is going after all those other things around the big thing. Those big picture things that help create an environment where spiritual leaders became spiritually blind. He goes right at the Pharisees, basically calling them illegitimate shepherds. This was a huge problem for God's people historically. Their leaders failed them constantly. It got so bad that in Ezekiel 34, after hundreds of years of corrupt leadership, spiritual neglect, and injustice, God himself said this to Israel's leaders. He said this through his prophet Ezekiel. He said, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." Jump down to verse 15. God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong. I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." You got to love an Old Testament prophet. So the Pharisees, who were supposed to be Israel's shepherds, who were supposed to feed and protect and care for God's sheep, what do they do in chapter 9? They cast out one of the sheep. So not only did they not feed him or protect him or care for him, they opened the sheepfold and drove him away from the flock. So just like he did in Ezekiel 34, here in John 10, the God of heaven rebukes the shepherds. He tells them they're a bunch of thieves and robbers, that they don't care about the sheep. The true shepherd searches for the sheep. He heals the sheep. The false shepherds, they hurt the sheep. They exclude the sheep. In verse 1, Jesus says, you can always tell the true shepherds from the false shepherds by the way they enter the sheepfold. Now, for those of us who may be wondering what in the world a sheepfold is, this is a sheepfold. I got a picture. It was a simple walled structure with one opening in the front. Some folks had their own personal sheepfolds, but there were also a lot of community sheepfolds in Jesus' day. That's probably what he has in mind in John 10. Because with a community sheepfold, all the shepherds who had their sheep nearby grazing in the grasslands would bring their sheep to the sheepfold at night to keep them all safe. All the sheep would just be in the sheepfold together, hanging out, talking about their day. And either one of the shepherds would guard the entrance to the sheepfold to keep the predators out, or the shepherds might get together and hire someone to stand watch overnight while they went into a nearby village or town. That happened a lot too. And the shepherd or the gatekeeper would literally lay across that small entrance to the sheepfold so that nothing could go in or come out without him knowing about it. Which is why Jesus says the one who enters the sheepfold by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Not the one who climbs over the wall in the back. That man is a thief and a robber. So what Jesus is telling the Pharisees in John 10 that they didn't understand, according to verse 6, is that they're not the true shepherds. They're false shepherds. They're thieves and they're robbers. Throughout our sacred text, the true leaders of God's people carry with them an authority that is given to them. It is laid on them. It is granted by God and recognized by the people. They're anointed, they're appointed, and they're approved. They're not just somebody's cousin. They don't campaign for these positions. They don't pay for these positions. God's hand is on their life, and the people recognize that. The people see that. Whether it's Moses being called from the burning bush, or it's God telling Moses that Joshua is going to be next man up, or whether it's David being anointed by God's prophet, or it's Jesus himself fulfilling the divine promises. They all walk through the door. They all walk through the door. They didn't climb over the wall bringing with them bad ideas and self-serving motivations. They weren't robbers and thieves. They were truth tellers. And their sheep knew their voice. Jesus said in verse 3 that the sheep hear their shepherd's voice and that he calls the sheep by name. Please don't miss that. Please do not miss that. He calls them by name and he leads them out. So the true shepherd of the sheep does not stand at the door and yell out, "All right, all my sheep, let's go. Single file, let's go." He doesn't do that. He stands at the door and he says, "Casey, you ready? You ready to go? Max, did you sleep good last night? Mitch, how's them knees feeling this morning?" That's what the shepherd does. The sheep know his voice because he knows their name. They know his voice because he knows their name. He calls them by name and he leads them out. Don't miss that either. The true shepherd is not behind the sheep, screaming at them, driving them like they're cattle. Jesus said in verse 4 that when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. How do they know his voice? Because he knows their name. God's people aren't meant to be managed. They're not employees. They're known. They're known. They are called and they are known. It's personal, y'all. It is insanely personal. Your relationship with God is uniquely personal. It's why your salvation has to be your salvation. You know what I mean when I say that? As faithful and as awesome as your sweet nanny was, praying for you, dragging you to church, telling you to stay away from them folks. She was right about that more times than she was wrong. Her salvation is her salvation. It's not yours. Because her name is her name. It's not your name. Jesus is calling you by your name. And you need to respond to his calling if you have not already. And I'm not just talking about the call to salvation. I'm also talking about the call to good works. The call to do the Father's works while it's still daytime. Because night is coming when no one can work. That's what Jesus said. "But Mike, I'm busy." Everybody's busy, okay? This drives me insane. Everybody's busy. The problem is not everybody's faithful. That's the problem. I'm sorry. The schedule's not the problem. The priorities are the problem. We all love to stand on Ephesians 2, where Paul tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. We rejoice that our works, what we do, have nothing to do with us being saved. And we should rejoice at that. Hallelujah, we should rejoice at that. But the next verse, y'all, verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." For good works. Works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walking in them means they're familiar. These good works are meant to be routine and commonplace, like going to work or brushing your teeth. They're just something we do. We read our sacred text, we pray, we fast, we do good works. It's all part of following the true shepherd. Because the true shepherd is the one who leads us into the good works. The true shepherd is the one who leads us into the good works. Y'all, so many miss out on so much because they fill their lives with so many other things that there's no room left for Jesus and his work. There's no room left for serving his church and for building his kingdom. This is how messed up it gets. We will look for local churches that we can go to, not be a part of, that we can go to, where nothing's asked of us, nothing's expected, we're never pushed, we're never challenged, and we'll take our families there once a month, maybe, just so we can get a little Jesus on us. Because a little Jesus is all you need, right? We don't want too much Jesus, because if you get too much Jesus on you, then you might have to adjust your schedule. Then you might have to change your spending habits. I mean, how am I supposed to do all these things that I want to do if I'm busy doing things that Jesus wants me to do, right? Think about it, preacher. Those fish ain't going to catch themselves. But honestly, in my experience, and this is just me, most folks don't think that way. Now, some do. I've had those conversations, and they are very strange. But I think most folks are just doing the best they can, right? But let's be honest, they're also living a little beyond their means. And that's not just in terms of finances, but also in time and in energy. And this causes an underlying level of constant stress that affects everything and everybody. And in going about the day to day and the week to week and the month to month, trying to meet these impossible expectations that we let others put on us and that we put on ourselves, we start listening to the wrong voices. It's not all the time, but it's enough. And the more we listen to those voices, the more familiar those voices get. And the danger is that those voices will eventually replace Jesus' voice, and Jesus will no longer be my shepherd. It happens. It happens all the time. Instead, Jesus becomes the stranger in verse 5 that the sheep won't follow because they don't recognize his voice. Y'all, most of us are not going to wake up one morning and decide not to listen to Jesus anymore. Just like we don't gain 40 extra pounds overnight, right? It takes years and years of not doing the right things coupled with doing the wrong things until that day comes, like it did for me when I found an old pair of Levi's 501 button flies in the top of my closet, tried to put them on and couldn't get them past my thighs. I didn't wake up one morning and think, you know what? I'm just so tired of weighing 180 pounds. I want to weigh 230, all right here. How's that? But y'all, most of us, we love Jesus, right? We would never run from Jesus, but we'll drift. You know what I mean? We'll drift because we start listening to the wrong voices. We'll drift because we're not rooted in Christian community. We drift because we're trying to hold on to some insane pace of life that's just not healthy for most people. It's just not. It's certainly not healthy for young kids. And over time, because we just won't let go, it pulls us away. It pulls us away from community. It pulls us away from accountability. It pulls us away from Jesus. So let me ask you, whose voice are you listening to? Is it the true shepherd who's standing at the gate calling you to himself? Or is it the thief who's crouching outside the wall trying to get you to climb out? In chapter 9, Jesus warned against spiritual blindness, against rejecting the light and retreating into the darkness where we cannot see, where we'll always stay blind. And here in chapter 10, Jesus is warning against spiritual deafness, encouraging us to cultivate relationship with the true shepherd so that we can know his voice, so that we can recognize his voice when he calls to us. But also, so when the thief calls to us, because he will, when the robbers and the false shepherds, when they call to us, if we know the true shepherd's voice, we're not going to need to move closer to the false shepherds to see just who that is. We won't need to check their credentials. We won't need to listen to what they have to say. We will just know, that ain't my shepherd. That is not my shepherd. I'm not going anywhere with that one. Because y'all, healthy sheep, they don't just follow the good shepherd, they ignore the bad ones. The ones telling them they can have salvation without surrender, it's not necessary. The ones telling them that Jesus doesn't expect anything from them. The ones telling them that Jesus is okay with things that he is very much not okay with. So who are we listening to? Is it the one standing at the door? Or is it the one looking for another way in? If the voice we're listening to is not calling us to good works, is not calling us to humble service, is not calling us to sacrifice and submit, that voice ain't Jesus, y'all. It's just not. That's a stranger's voice. Just because you prayed one prayer once upon a time does not mean you belong to the shepherd. Jesus said his sheep hear his voice, he leads them out, and they follow him. They follow him because they know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't, you can. But you got to let a lot of things go. You got to let go and you got to listen. You got to listen and you got to follow. You got to follow and you got to ignore all the other voices that are not the true shepherd. And if you want to talk more about that, please let me know. Right now, let's pray so we can sing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the true shepherd. We thank you, Jesus, that you stand at the door and you call us to yourself by name. You lead us. You don't drive us. You love us. You don't use us. You don't abuse us and mistreat us. You love us. You want good for us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would lean into you, that we would hold tightly to you, that we would listen to you, that we would develop such a close and personal relationship with you that we can hear your voice among a thousand different voices. That whoever's calling to us, whatever they're saying to us, we'll be able to know fully if it's our shepherd, or if it's a stranger, a thief, or a robber. There's so many things we just cannot do apart from you, Jesus. We certainly can't know you more, love you better, and follow you more closely when we're not spending time with you, when we're not learning from you, when we're not listening to you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would all want to cultivate that deeper, more meaningful relationship with you, where we see you do amazing things, where you do amazing things in us, where we're not just going about wandering, drifting, hoping we're making the right choices, hoping we're doing the right things. We can know because we are following the shepherd into his good works. I pray that we would stick so close to you that no one will be able to tell where you stop and we start. Closeness to the shepherd, Lord, I pray that we all seek that we all want that we all make whatever changes we need to in our daily lives so that we can have that. God, please accept this song as an offering of worship. I pray that that worship rolls up into praise because you deserve to be praised. You are good, you are holy, you are mighty. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us first. and for letting us love you back. It's in your beautiful name we pray together, Lord Jesus. Amen.